With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Where the story goes, we follow. Chris Smith on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hey, good to have your company. Hour number two of the program. We'll get to Mark Latham very, very shortly. And the giant killer in a little place called Hornsby, for those who don't know where it is, in the northern suburbs of Sydney in Australia, taking on a major political player, and you never know your luck in a little town. We'll get to both of those stories very soon. Love to hear what you think on the talkback lines from the US and Canada, 1-888-201-6425. Write it down, post it, note it, put it on the fridge. From the UK, 033-0024-1026, or from Australia and New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. I'd love to hear what you've got to say. Well, I spoke at length at this time yesterday about the many reasons why an Indigenous voice to the Parliament should not and will not succeed via referendum. And today we found out what they will ask us at this referendum for an Indigenous voice. It's not as simple as that, of course. It's not just about throwing a question on a piece of paper. It's also a very complex plan to restructure the Constitution. But it wasn't the words that have now been decided upon that shocked people today during the press conference in Canberra. It was the emotion. I don't know whether Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is a softie. I don't know whether he's just tired at the moment after many nights trying to work out what the mechanics are for the voice, or he's frightened after losing the referendum. Maybe that's it. Maybe he thinks this is a goner. He's conceded that in his own mind. And so when he brings out everyone around him for a group press conference, he gets sad. But he had tears in his eyes today as he revealed the wording of the referendum question and proposed constitutional amendment. It instantly turned into a very emotional press conference and went something like this.
This moment has been a very long time in the making. Yet they have shown such patience and optimism through this process. And that spirit of cooperation and thoughtful, respectful dialogue has been so important at arriving at this point in such a united fashion. Are there any circumstances in which this will not be put to a vote? The answer to that is no. Because to not put this to a vote is to concede defeat. You only win when you run on the field and engage. And let me tell you, my government is engaged.
What's that about, do you think? Is it genuine? Could be. But why? Is it such a significant world event that it creates an emotional reaction like that? Is that it? Or is it the pressure of this whole charade beginning to get to the PM? I think there's a lot of truth in the latter. He knows, despite all the hard work and the well-intentioned concern for Indigenous Australians, by some Indigenous Australians, the referendum, his referendum, is doomed. And as I said yesterday, if it does fail, there's only one decision Anthony Albanese needs to make. Which day of the week should he resign? He must. Speaking at Parliament House, the Prime Minister made a plea to Australians to support the voice. He was indicating clearly that the referendum would still be held before the end of the year. Australians will be asked a proposed law to alter the Constitution to recognise the First Peoples of Australia by establishing an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice. Do you approve this proposed alteration? Now, if it had said to alter the Constitution to recognise the First Peoples of Australia, I would tick yes. Yes. But why, in recognition that they are the First Peoples of Australia, do we need to have an appendage to the Parliament. How will you answer this question? Give me a call and let me know. How will you answer this question? And then if a majority of Australians vote in favour of the voice, which is extremely unlikely, the Constitution would be amended as follows. One, there shall be a body to be called the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Voice. Two, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Voice may make representations to the Parliament and the Executive Government of the Commonwealth on matters relating to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Three, the Parliament shall, subject to this Constitution, have power to make laws with respect to matters relating to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice, including its composition, functions, powers, and procedures. Now, that could be just about every topic that comes before the real Parliament. Talk about delaying justice. But there you have it, a side issue distracting Australians from the parlous state of their country. The wording of the question and the proposed constitutional amendments will be put to the full Parliament as early as next week. And I hope the opposition leader, Peter Dutton, doesn't fall for this virtue signalling and doesn't fall for the tears. I hope he opposes the yes vote. The PM said today, the principle of consultation was not a radical notion. Well, if that's the case, why didn't the PM, why didn't a single member of his party, the government, meet with a large group of Aboriginal people who turned up to Canberra's Parliament House yesterday? These were the people that came to Canberra, converged on Canberra at the insistence of Warren Mundine and Jacinta Nampajira-Price. Not one of them saw someone from the government because they didn't get out of their office. Not one member of the Greens Party went and saw them either. Not one Teal representative went down and saw them either. And if you're voting for Teals in the New South Wales election this weekend, think about that for a second. None of them went down. They couldn't be bothered because they had a different view to their own. Well, if that was the case, why don't you debate the view with them? Why wouldn't you do that? I don't get it. You've got 11 Indigenous MPs sitting in the Australian Parliament. Why do you need an appendage? I'll be voting no. I want Australia to unite, not be divided on the basis of colour and race. It goes against everything we've been trying to amend in this country. Prime Ministerial tears don't fool me. So how will you vote? Now that you know the question, you will be asked before the end of the year. This is TNT Radio.live.
Chris Smith and Mark Latham on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's go to Trevor. He's on the talkback lines right now. Trevor, go right ahead.
Hi, look, hi, Chris. Look, I actually voted for Anthony Albanese. And when I was listening to him today, I was crying. I was crying as well. I mean, this is a man who was having a cry when Kevin Rudd was deposed, crying that he didn't want to fight with other members of the party.
Oh, that's right. That, you know,
so he's got Foreman having a cry. And I didn't vote for Anthony Albanese because I wanted Labor. I was voting against the Liberals because they'd lost their path and I wanted them to go out in the wilderness, get some soul-searching, get back to being true Liberal Party. But why I was crying about Anthony Albanese, we've previously had tricky prime ministers. We've had cunning ones, liars. Anthony Albanese is the true... in my opinion, he's the first true idiot. I truly mean that. He is a complete idiot. And he's just bumbled his way by attending Labor Party meetings, bumbled his way over the last 30 years, a little hack, to becoming Prime Minister.
He's done a Stephen Bradbury. He was the last man standing, do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a great analogy. And this whole voicing... it is the most ridiculous garbage I've ever heard. And why wasn't it brought up before the last election? If I'd known this, even though I really was sick of the Liberal Party, I definitely would have voted for ScoMo. I mean, I hadn't heard of this at all. What was this?
And I'm pretty... To be truthful, to be fair to Anthony Albanese, it was part of the election campaign and part of Labor's platform.
It might have been, but I was it down really low, down on the thing? Because I've got a life to lead. I don't sit there reading their party manifestos. So it certainly wasn't prominent.
So it's yes or no from you?
Oh, no. We're all equal, and we've got a parliament. We've got a voice. It's called a parliament. It's called our members of parliament.
Okay. Good on you, Trevor. Good to get your feelings on the matter. You can call in on the open line, especially those in Australia who will have to go to the referendum before the end of the year. 1-800-670-310. Well, only two sleeps to go before most of the voters in the Australian state of New South Wales go to the polls. And while Labor is being tipped to win the election, there are mysteries galore in this configuration. Will they govern in their own right? Will we see another major party limp over the line to an unimpressive victory? Will minor parties hold the balance, and which ones? Will the Greens in Gucci, the Teals, fool more of the electorate? They were the ones who couldn't be bothered yesterday in Canberra to go and meet a large group of Indigenous people and talk to them about the voice. I digress to answer some of these questions and venture into other topical territory. I'm joined now by the party leader of One Nation in New South Wales, Mark Latham. G'day there, Mark.
Thanks for having me on the show, Chris.
Can I talk about a federal matter before we talk about the New South Wales election? We've been told what the question will be now for this year's voice referendum. But what everyone seemed to notice a little bit more than the wording was when the Prime Minister choked up and shed a tear at the press conference. What do you make of that?
Well, Anthony Albanese obviously has some emotional commitment and connection to the idea of establishing another Indigenous advisory and funding and financial allocation committee in Canberra. Now, if that's your emotional commitment in politics, you're better off retiring and giving someone a go who's got a commitment to solving practical, severe problems, destroying young Indigenous lives in the places where the Aborigines live, most particularly the western parts of New South Wales, Alice Springs, the Northern Territory. The problems there of welfare dependency, drug and alcohol abuse, the epidemic of child sexual assault, school truancy, and other criminal problems, none of those things are going to be solved by yet another advisory committee with funding allocated to it, even if you write it into the Constitution. You know, Chris, around the country, there's 85 government-established and funded Aboriginal policy and advisory groups, similar to the intention with The Voice. Is an 86th really going to make any difference?
Of course
not.
So
if Albanese cries about the 86th group, I'd hate to think how he went numbers 1 to 85, and he needs to get out of these communities and start feeling emotional about the young Indigenous kids who'll be raped in Bourke and Bawarana and Moree and Walgett and Wilcannia tonight and tomorrow night and the night after that. I mean, these are real-life tragedies, the greatest stain on our nation that you can possibly imagine. And for the Prime Minister to be having a sook about a committee in Canberra is one of the greatest disconnects I've ever seen in my 40-year observation of Australian politics.
He goes out to Alice Springs only recently in what was supposed to be some kind of, you know, last-ditch effort to stop violence and drunkenness out there. He didn't shed a tear out there when he was confronted with all of that, but he sheds a tear when he's in Parliament House surrounded by another group of Indigenous people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is a disconnect from reality. And he comes from the inner city, he holds an inner city electorate. He's from the left wing of the Labor Party. And we all know the problem with virtue signalling of this kind. You can make yourself feel like you're a virtuous, good person and feel emotional about that. You can put flags on bridges, have acknowledgements of country until you're blue in the face. You can change the constitution and establish the 86th Indigenous committee funded and created by government. But it doesn't make any practical difference to anyone's life opportunities, not their safety at night, not their education, not in young Indigenous people getting good academic vocational qualifications, getting a job. It makes no difference whatsoever. So it's the ultimate delusion in politics to think any of that stuff has a practical impact beyond the walls of Albanese's press conference room.
One quick one from Alan, one of my listeners who sent me an email. He says, what happens to multiculturalism if The Voice gets up? What happens to the concept of all cultures being equal and under the law must not be treated differently? Fair question.
Well, this is a proposal to give Indigenous not just recognition in the Constitution, which a lot of people support, but a status well above any other Australian citizen, where they have their own race-based, race-identified committee written into the Constitution, and with it an agenda that, quite frankly, is frightening because they're keeping the proposal vague. But if you're in the Constitution, you've obviously got enormous powers, and the voice, when it's established, will be having funding and powers for reparations, that is the payment of monies to Indigenous people based on things that happened, allegedly happened 240 years ago. Now, I don't know what my ancestors were doing 240 years ago, and I expect you don't know what yours were doing either, Chris. But the reality is, no matter the hardship and the problems they might have had in their life, I know one thing about my own existence, that I'm never going to get ahead, and my children could never get ahead in life by worrying about things that happened 240 years ago. You've got to put your head down, quit school, get a job, and get out there and progress yourself. So having a cry about history is no use to anyone. And asking for money for things that happened 240 years ago, quite frankly, just adds to the plague of welfare dependency that Indigenous have got now, where, you know, they're not working. They think the government owes them a living, owes them money, and welfare dependency puts them on the drugs, the alcohol, and the child sexual abuse. So it's a curse in itself. So reparations is dreadful. And the other thing they've got is what they call a truth-telling commission, the Orwellian Big Brother concept of a truth-telling commission, where they're going to go and rewrite Australian history. I mean, Australian history is well established by our great historians, from Manning Clark on the left of politics to Geoffrey Blainey on the right. All the facts are known. But the voice is going to go out and have a truth commission to rewrite Australian history according to what they think happened, what they want to have happened 240 years ago, 150 years ago, and so forth. So that in itself is an atrocity that will seep into the school education system. So all of this is a huge worry. And, you know, I think the only reason to cry about the voice is if it's ever carried, it's ever implemented, and the damage it will cause in this country.
Yeah. I've got to take a very quick break, and I'll come back with you, Mark Latham. We'll talk further about this New South Wales election occurring on Saturday that many people will have to go out and vote at, and then you'll have to front up for the referendum before the end of the year and decide what you think about a voice. Now, did you know that there are many ways you can listen to TNT Radio? You can listen on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device. Download our app from the App Store. We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
You should hear what John Helmer and George Eliason are talking about.
The arrest warrant for Vladimir Putin. Now, this is the ICC that's doing this. And what happened is they've got a great headline. But here's the biggest problem with this. Neither Russia nor Ukraine are signatories to the Rome Statute that gives the ICC jurisdiction, and Russia does not recognize the ICC. We're talking about something very, very important here. We're talking about the health and welfare of children. On the basis of evidence collected and analyzed by my office pursuant to its independent investigations, the pretrial chamber has confirmed that there are reasonable grounds to believe that President Putin bear the criminal responsibility for the unlawful deportation and transfer of Ukrainian children from occupied areas of Ukraine to the Russian Federation, contrary to Article 82A and 82B of the Rome Statute. This is very important. It is a huge statement, and it is amazingly wrong on many, many counts.
War of the Worlds with John Helmer and George Eliason on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches, and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swimming in racism.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
Focused on the facts. Chris Smith on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
My final word on The Voice until I get to some callers a little later in the program. Simon has just sent me an email. Today, the Australian Prime Minister teared up when introducing the bill. It struck me as pretty staggering that when Australian Aboriginals are in crisis in Alice Springs in the Northern Territory, the PM can't see that as sufficiently traumatic to generate an emotional response, yet this bill does. He talked today about the important challenges that lie ahead once The Voice comes into reality. Really? So what? Until we then get that, we just park existing issues, do we? Senator Jacinta Price is constantly drawing attention to the fundamental issues confronting Aboriginal people, but where's the bipartisanship needed now? Horrendous. Good on you. Thank you, Simon. Appreciate all of that. Just on Albo, too, he was focused so much on The Voice, Mark Latham, that he forgot his little mate in New South Wales, Labor leader Chris Minns. He has an election to fight and win on the weekend. Albo brushed a campaign opportunity with Chris Minns. It hasn't been a good week for New South Wales Labor.
Well, I think they're in front in the election, though. They might have lost a couple of battles, but I think they're winning the war. But it's true Albanese didn't go over to Queanbeyan there, just 15 minutes away from Federal Parliament House to help Chris Minns. There was some excuse about question time and so forth. That might have been valid. But the feedback I get, Chris, is that a lot of people find the Minns and Perrottet aspect of the New South Wales election campaign to be uninspiring. They've missed a lot of the big issues that need to be addressed, energy, security, law and order, balancing the budget, paying down debt, fixing up the school results. I mean, that's a huge agenda where essentially those two leaders, Dominic Perrottet and Chris Minns, have gone around with imagery and stage-managed events instead of real policy substance. And, you know, it's continuing the pattern where people look at the major parties and think, well, that two-party system's not delivering results. Let's look elsewhere. And I've got to say the feedback I'm getting for New South Wales One Nation is fantastic. Some of the best feedback I've ever seen in my time in politics. So, you know, the two-party system, she ain't what she used to be.
Yeah, interesting. You mentioned energy there. That's got to be, if not the number one issue, in the top three. And despite Matt Green Keane, the Treasurer, saying that he'll demolish the Eraring coal-fired power station, Premier Dominic Perrottet has been flip-flopping today, just 2 days out from the vote. Tell us what happened.
Well, there's a lot of confusion here. The reality is that the Australian energy market operator, AEMO, has forecast blackouts in New South Wales, particularly after the closure of the Eraring coal-fired power station. This is the one that Matt Keane drove out of the market for 2025. So it's closing many years early in just 2 years' time. And when the forecast of the blackouts came out, Matt Keane speculated, oh, maybe we need to pay Origin Energy, who own the Eraring station, some money to keep it open longer. Dominic Perrottet, as Premier, overruled his deputy leader and energy minister and said, oh, we won't be doing that. We're relying on 100% renewables in Matt Keane's roadmap. So that was obviously hopeless. Perrottet basically said, forget about the, you know, projection. We're just standing with the status quo. Chris Minns jumped in to say maybe we need to buy it back, renationalise it, without understanding that in 2 years' time, Origin wouldn't have done any maintenance and they've probably got only one turbine operating and it's basically a clapped-out asset. So that wasn't a great moment, but indicative of how bad the policy framework has been in this campaign. The big issue of keeping the lights on, avoiding blackouts, well, that's huge. And those three fluffed around, Perrottet, Keane and Minns, with no real solution. Now, Perrottet has flip-flopped to say, oh, maybe he is interested in paying Origin or buying back a share in it to keep it open. I can tell you what, Chris, the one thing to keep the lights on in New South Wales, halt the transition to a so-called green energy economy, halt the damage that's been caused by relying on renewables without backup power, and say to Origin Energy, well, we're not driving you out of the market anymore. We're halting the Matt Keane policy, and we're going to rely on coal and gas and also nuclear for baseload power 24/7 around the clock. That is the way in which to keep the lights on. Now,
correct.
The major parties can't say this because they've gone down the path of folly.
Yep.
They won't admit their monumental error a couple of years ago when Matt Keane said, let's race to 100% renewables within 10 years. I said, well, you'll drive out coal-fired power. That's happening. I said at the time in a very lengthy parliamentary debate with 85 divisions, votes, I said, you won't have the backup power, the pumped hydro and the gas peaking plants in place to keep the lights on. That too is happening, and why AEMO has made these forecasts. So it's a public policy mess, the like of which you'd rarely see for an issue that's so fundamentally important for the future of our state.
They don't seem to do their homework. They don't do their due diligence. They, unless someone can come up with a document, which they have not, that tells me that renewables can provide baseload power without interruption, mind you, until that happens, you've got to dedicate your resources to fossil fuels and baseload power that we can trust. I don't get it. Now, just quickly, so you reckon you'll do fairly well on Saturday. What are your hopes?
Well, we had two in the upper house last time. I think we're advancing on that. So I'm hoping we can get three for a total of five and have a balance of power that stops the worst excesses of a Labor-Green government in the lower house, the sort of stuff the Greens advanced, drug legalisation, gender fluidity teaching in schools, closing down gas and coal yesterday, causing blackouts. We want to oppose all that. And in the lower house, there's some polling around that Sky News is reporting that One Nation is on 10, 15% pretty consistently across a range of seats, particularly in Western Sydney. So, you know, that's doubling and tripling our vote in some places. So if we've got that kind of momentum, I'm hoping on Saturday night there's some really encouraging results.
All right. And quickly, the dust has settled over that church-sponsored freedom event you were asked to speak at earlier in the week, which ended up in somewhat of a clash between two major groups. There's a little bit of coverage today about Christian Lives Matter and the fact that they got a little bit handy and may have provoked things. But as you pointed out to me yesterday, the other group, the Rainbow group, they brought with them their own camera person. So they were hoping to film something. I don't know what that was.
Well, they've shopped that around free of charge to TV stations. So whoever he wasn't a working journalist trying to earn an income. It looked like it was a bit of a setup. I mean, if you're a rainbow group, trans and gay, that go protest at a suburban church, that's a pretty unusual thing to do in the first place. And there's some news today that they were more so provocative by breaking a crucifix and trying to burn it. And that then instigated the violence from the counter protesters. Now, all violence in a democracy is bad, and we don't need it. We've got to sort our differences out peacefully at the ballot box. But going to a suburban church, threatening to block the road and deny parishioners their normal access to their place of worship, breaking a crucifix, burning it, having a cameraman there specifically for filming all this and the reaction, they were there to cause trouble, Chris. They weren't there to advance the cause of LGB alphabet. They were there to cause trouble and cause a fracas in the closing week of the New South Wales election campaign. So I condemn them totally.
Yeah. All the very best for Saturday. We'll keep in touch and speak about the fallout next week, and hopefully One Nation does very well. Thank you for your time, mate.
Yeah, thanks for your time. All the best, Chris.
Okay, thank you for that, Mark Latham. One Nation, I think they'll be some of the big winners out of Saturday's election. Some really good groundswell of support coming from some particularly targeted areas, but also the Western Sydney region as well. All right. Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all the major social platforms. So start following TNT on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on TNT's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Now, TNT Radio News.
It's hot tea. It's very hot.
It's hot news.
So hot.
Yeah, it's hot news.
Hot news.
Matt Boylant here with a look at your TNT headlines. Britain has been accused of escalating the war in Ukraine after London pledged to start arming the country with ammunition containing depleted uranium. The journalist who exposed Washington's role in the attack on Europe's Nord Stream pipelines has accused Germany of helping America bury the truth, and New York City prosecutors have postponed a scheduled grand jury session, delaying a decision on whether to charge former President Donald Trump over hush money payments made to a porn star 7 years ago.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk. This is TNT Radio.
Let's go to the talkback lines. Neil is on the telephone right now. Go ahead, Neil.
Yeah, g'day, Chris. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Neil.
That's very good, mate. Hey, I'm absolutely loving your show. It's good to have Alan, Pauline, Mark, and various others, and that funny one the other day. But hey, it's a great show, and it's really good. You know, you can listen on the YouTube, the Bluetooth audio in the car, which I'm in the car now on the M5 near Kingsgrove, and that rain is bucketing down.
So oh, it's coming down already, is it?
On the road. Oh, yeah, it's smashing down. Yeah, and I'm off work for a few days and heading down to Gippsland, so in Victoria. And, yeah, so I'm just off for a few days. But, mate, I just wanted to say hello, and I just wanted to say, no, we don't need a voice to Parliament. And next time Anthony Albanese is in Alice Springs, go to the taxi rank, as I was an old Alice Springs taxi driver, for 8-9 years in, you know, back in 2000, about 2009, I saw firsthand what happens in that town.
Mate, I bet you did.
Talk to the drivers, and yeah, there's big problems. So, you know, seeing it on the TV and all that hits home.
Yeah, well, you know how this worked. As soon as they got into power last year, both the Northern Territory Labor government and the Federal Labor government didn't want to see the rules that were in place prior, which restricted the sale of alcohol to those who were either vulnerable or had a record in terms of abusing alcohol and committing crimes. If you don't enact that particular power, which they've sort of, recanted on, if you don't, you know, install that kind of power, you actually prove to everyone that you don't understand the problems in the Northern Territory.
That's exactly right. And Jacinta is doing a wonderful job. This is the people that those there voted for, are those in her election, her area. And this is a voice to Parliament. We don't need anything else. That's it.
Good on you, Neil. Thank you very much for your two bobs worth. May I receive it at any other time?
Yeah, no worries at all, Chris. Thank you and take care. All the very best. Well done.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate that. I'm glad you're enjoying the show. Now, Independent Senator Lydia Thorpe. She must have been getting rather jealous of the attention on her Indigenous friends around Parliament House and not her. Well, she's been thrown to the ground by police after she tried to crash an anti-trans rally attended by One Nation and United Australia Party senators out the front of Parliament House. There was some argy-bargy and a half. Thorpe, who was clad in an Aboriginal flag, tried to intervene in the small rally. As controversial anti-trans campaigner Posey Parker spoke, the independent senator was part of a counter-protest at a rally outside Parliament House by British anti-trans activist Kelly J. Keane Minchell. Now, Parker, who also goes by Kelly J. Keane Minchell, headed a rally in Melbourne, as you know, on Saturday, in which neo-Nazis attended. Thorpe was tackled today, moved on by police before joining a large counter-protest of trans rights activists on the Parliament House lawn. Pauline Hanson was there. She was joined by her Senate colleague Malcolm Roberts, spoke at the rally. A large contingent of police keeping both protests separated. Thorpe declined to comment about what happened, other than to say, "I need to seek medical attention. I've been assaulted by police." How many times do you think she's said that sentence? She has returned to Parliament House. Now, one of the most fascinating things that's going on in the New South Wales electorate of Hornsby is the battle to take the seat away from State Treasurer Matt Keane by Labor, the Teals, and Liberal Democrats candidate Jeff Grimshaw. Now, Jeff says that over the past few decades, democracy, liberty, and freedom have become misunderstood words in the Western world, no more so than here in Australia. However, Matt Keane has recently said that our freedoms and liberty were gifts bestowed on us from his government. Is he for real? Is he for real standing up for what the government has done in terms of liberty and freedom in the past 2.5 years? He's got to be kidding. Candidate Jeff Grimshaw joins me on the line right now. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be here.
What are your thoughts on what Matt Keane says about the government bestowing on us mere mortals freedoms and liberty?
Well, this just shows his mentality, and that when he said that we should be rewarded with more freedoms if we get vaccinated, this is really Orwellian 1984 totalitarian style government. I mean, he said, his actual words were, if they, that's the unvaccinated, don't wish to have a vaccine, then they can stay at home and they can adhere to the lockdown laws. In other words, he wanted to lock people up because they chose not to have an experimental vaccine. Now, can you imagine a re-elected Matt Keane? He will do the same things with climate lockdowns. He will say, look, if you choose to drive a gas-guzzling vehicle, then, well, no, you can't. You'll have to stay at home. If you want to travel on a plane, no, you'll have to stay at home. And we have climate lockdowns in Oxford being experimented on, where you can't drive more than 15 minutes. So you can see the mentality of this man and what is coming down the pipeline if we don't vote him out.
How have you fared on the streets around Hornsby? And what's been the reaction from voters, all voters, to Matt Keane?
Well, you know what? One of my catchphrases when people come to the booth at pre-poll is, are you keen or not keen? And a lot of people are not keen. In fact, I can count the people who said, oh, yeah, I'm keen, on the fingers of one hand. He's in real trouble. He is in real trouble here.
Well, they're saying earlier in the week there'd be a 16% swing against him. That's still not enough to displace him, is it?
No, but I think a lot of voters are keeping their cards quite close to their chest. We're getting a response like I've never seen before. People are taking such an interest in us. They're taking our trifolds and pamphlets, and they're reading our policies, and we're winning them over on the spot. They really love what we've got to say. They really love our ideas and policies, and they're just sick of the major parties, not just the Liberals, but Labor and the Greens as well.
I have a feeling that the state Labor Party in New South Wales might replicate the performance of Anthony Albanese at the federal election in Australia, and we might see something in the vicinity of 30% get over the line, limp over the line.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, the Labor didn't win last year's election. The Liberals lost it, and Labor had one of the lowest votes ever in the history of elections. I think the same thing's going to happen here. Labor won't win the election. The Liberals will lose it. Labor will limp over the line just, but they really will not have a mandate from the people at all.
No. Do you believe our most recent crop of parliamentarians have been playing God by turning upside down what is written in both the Australian and New South Wales constitutions? You know, they They hurriedly try to apply what was recommended by our health departments. And a lot of people understandably tried to follow their health advice. But having said that, they didn't understand the implications of locking people down, did they?
I don't think the MPs in either the federal or state parliaments have even read the constitution of either the federal or the state constitutions. I think if you want to run for politics, you should pass a basic IQ test and a basic test on government. I think if we applied that now, we'd have to kick out about 90% of the MPs because they really have no idea about anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It must be strange for you to be an aspiring candidate, an aspiring MP in the parliament. And when you hear that the sitting member is starting to get very, very shaky indeed, it must give you a great deal of impetus to try and get there and make a difference.
Oh, absolutely. He's not just shaky. I've seen him on the hustings today in the last couple of days. He's got no energy because he is the Minister for No Energy, and he's feeling the pinch. He's being told by the voters that they're not voting for him anymore. They're sick and tired of him. At the candidates forum we had on Monday, he was just heckled by the audience over and over again. He couldn't answer questions. Oh, yes. He was, you know, just couldn't answer any of the questions he was asked. And he just gave the typical polywaffle answers with empty rhetoric and talking about moving forward, whatever that means. I mean, he never says what we're moving forward to. Is it Venezuela, Weimar Germany, Zimbabwe? I think it's about time we moved on from the majors and started giving some of the smaller parties and independents a chance, because they have failed us on everything.
I think that will be reflected in the vote come Saturday night. All the very best to you, Jeff Grimshaw. And if you knock him off, I'd love to have you on Monday afternoon, if I may.
Well, I need about 3 weeks of sleep after this, but I'll try.
At least you're working hard. I love it. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Okay, from the Liberal Democrats. You know, in hindsight, all of this is quite right. They did overreact. They did take what they were being told by health officials to heart, as most of us did, and many. And I've got to admit that I did as well. But it's only when you start to see it all unravel towards the end of this pandemic, you realise that we've been had. We've been had. Josephine writes in an email, Anthony Albanese tearing up is all fake, writes Josephine. He was dragged kicking and screaming to Alice Springs and spent 4 hours there. He was at the tennis for 3 days in a row. He does not fool me with this nonsense. I will still vote no to this referendum that I think will divide us by race. That's from Josephine. Thank you for the email on the TNT website. I've got to take a break and I'll come straight back to the talkback lines and take your calls. Don't go anywhere for those who are waiting on. Now, don't miss out on a thing. You've got to be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play, depending on what smartphone you have, so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. It's available right now to download, keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
If you've ever played the game of chess, you know that the threat of the move sometimes is bigger than the move itself. In other words, you may be playing an opponent and you see something down the road and you say, well, I have to start paying attention to this. But there's more reality in doing that in chess than some of the tactics that are being taken by the climate hysterics. For instance, the Daily Mail yesterday put out an article that says that a Democratic-led Colorado city bans new gas stations in a bid to tackle climate change. This is hard to believe. First of all, if you look at the geological record, we are currently in a climate optimum, not a climate emergency. Secondly, you're worried about something that may never happen. As a matter of fact, probably is not going to happen. And this is what I'm talking about. So it's like a phony chess game they're playing. They're trying to get all of us to prepare for a move down the road that is never going to occur. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
For many people with debt problems, the first time they can sleep without worry is when they've talked to us. At Step Change Debt Charity, our free advice helps thousands of people every week get their finances back on track. If you need help, contact us and take the first step to a debt-free future. Step Change Debt Charity. Free debt advice. Life-changing debt solutions.
Visit stepchange.org to find out more. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
This is The Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Let's go to the talkback lines. Come and have your say. There's no ceiling on opinion here. You can let us have it. John McRae is on the line right now. John, how are you?
Very good, Chris. Congratulations getting on the on this station, and congratulations for how you had Mark Latham. It was a very instructional dissertation. That last gentleman you had on there said the greatest words of prophecy ever been spoken. Every politician, they're ignorant of our Constitution, and they're prostituting our Constitution. And if this voice goes through, it will divide this. I'm jumping the gun a bit. If Mark Latham and Craig Kelly and a few others do not get control of the upper house, we'll have no handbrake on the disaster. The train will just be a juggernaut running, because you need someone to have an analytical, intelligent brain like they have, to, with all these other wombats that are in there, the Greens and everyone else that are just completely void of equilibrium. If they're not there, we're in trouble, because it'll give the Labor Party carte blanche to govern all of Australia, because they're in every other state. And
there is that too, but having said that, the problem with the voice is that if you are appointing the voice because you want to have recommendations on policy, you can't avoid but accepting everything they say, because you've said that we need an annex to Parliament like the voice.
Well, they've got it, Chris. They've got it. They've got 60 or 70 agencies, and they got and they get $34.9 billion a year for 2% of the population. Like, give me a break. But no one knows the Constitution. And they all say, oh, we've got a plan, we're going to have manufacturing. Hello? That's my forte. What are you going to manufacture? Tell me what you're going to manufacture, because you won't be doing it without power. I can take you. You lived at Alexandria. I can take you. I lived half my life there, not at Alexandria, in Rosebery. I could go from Parliament House in Macquarie Street to Mascot Airport and just do a little couple of deviations and put 22,000 people back into work with the industries they demolished under the Lima Declaration. That's the UNIDO agreement, United Nations Industry Development Organization, a United Nations set up. That wrecked our manufacturing. And they think they're going to manufacture with no power? Chris, the public don't know. Warragamba Dam costs nothing to build out of public money. That was done by waterboard bonds. And they had that much money, it overflowed, and that was enabled to update the sewer schemes and put water recycling systems in and water the Penrith and Richmond and all that there with the water purification. The power stations did the same thing. The first two were built at Willerawang and Mount Piper. Then all the rest in Lake Macquarie. All these greenies and all these other wombats that live in psycho land, they've benefited and their parents benefited. All the benefits, all the security, all the advancement and all the opportunity that they gave us. And now they want to destroy it and
but,
sell
but
it off.
John, can you answer this question? And I try and talk to people reasonably and sensibly about this point. They keep telling me, oh, renewables is the future. It will supply the baseload power that Australia needs and that other countries need. But what happens when they're telling us all to get in electric cars and they're telling us to jump into electric buses, et cetera, et cetera? We're going to need double the baseload power we have today. So if renewables can't reach the baseload power levels that we require this very day, this very year, 2023, and we know it can't, just go and ask Denmark, where are we going to find double the baseload power to power an electric transportation system?
What baseload power does today, Chris, is about 7.5%. The rest comes, like, Uraring and Liddell, they supply about 30%, 32% of all the power. Now,
the renewables supply 6 to 7%. You're saying not baseload,
but around a bit more than 7 on a good day.
That's good. A good day. You're right.
Now, what are you going to do at 6 o'clock at 7 o'clock at night when it's dark? Go up with a bloody candle. and try and ignite the solar power. Like, that's got about as much viability in it, that statement, what they make, as me and you going to the bloody moon in a Tiger Moth.
Yes. Spot on.
You can't do it, Chris. If you're going to have manufacturing, I can tell you all the factories around Alexandria, Rosebery, Mascot, Botany, and the chemical companies that we had. I can name the whole lot of them and tell you the addresses. They're not there today.
No,
and we
exactly.
need them.
All right, I've got to run. John, so good to have you on TNT Radio. I hope this is not just a debut. I hope we can hear more of you.
No, hey, listen, I'll haunt the place because the public have got to know what we did in the past. They're talking about going back with the Aboriginals and what happened 240 years ago. I'll only go back 50 years, 60 years, and put people into work, make us sustainable and independent instead of being interdependent. And the four things we've got to look at, Chris, is taxes, tariffs, treaties and the family law court and all this other rubbish that emanates from those four things.
All right. Good on you, John. Thank you very much. Love your opinions and we'll get more of them as we get further on in our broadcasting time here at this time of the afternoon. Now, David says, oh, David has sent me a very nice email. Well done on appointing Chris Smith to this station. He says, I am now a listener and a massive fan. Chris is the reason I like Talkback Radio. How nice is that? David Leroy, thank you. You're very kind. Now, I want to get these two little bits and pieces to you. Firstly, coffee lovers. You know how they keep telling us that everything's bad for us, including coffee? Well, don't listen to this rubbish. Don't listen to any medic that tells you you shouldn't drink coffee, all right? I have three coffees a day. Love it. Coffee lovers can now take heart because our favorite stimulant might not be so risky for cardiac health after all. Coffee consumption does not increase abnormal heartbeats associated with an increased risk of the most common heart rhythm disturbance, according to a new study published today in the New England Journal of Medicine. Researchers monitored the heart's activity and sleep of 100 people without underlying heart conditions, mind you, over 2 weeks. They found that the key cardiac risk marker remained about the same for coffee drinkers as it did for non-coffee drinkers. Makes no difference. The irregular heart rhythm, which is known as atrial fibrillation, can lead to dangerous blood clots that can cause stroke and heart failure. The common arrhythmia known as atrial fibrillation isn't caused or worsened by caffeine, despite the widespread belief among many physicians and patients that coffee should be avoided in these conditions. This is from Deepak Bhatt, director of Mount Sinai Heart in New York. Cardiologists have long considered coffee a potential heart health risk in individuals with underlying health conditions since it contains caffeine, which is a stimulant that increases heart rate. Well, a study published in the Journal of the American Heart Association last year found that drinking two or more cups of coffee a day was associated with twice the risk of heart death in people with severe hypertension. But other research has shown an association between moderate coffee intake and a reduced risk of mortality in the population overall. Researchers are still trying to understand the underlying reasons for these effects. But the group of 100 volunteers ranging from 20 to 70 were monitored. Researchers had them wear continuously recording electrocardiogram devices, which record electrical signals from the heart, Fitbits to monitor their step counts and sleep, and continuous glucose monitors. Now, I won't go into the background of all of this, but suffice to say, no difference between coffee drinkers or non-coffee drinkers when it comes to atrial defibrillation, which is important. But what they are worried about is when you take coffee. So if you have coffee in the afternoon, for instance, it could keep you up and disrupt your sleep. And a lack of proper sleep is the thing that causes problems for the heart. A lack of proper sleep causes more problems for the heart than coffee. So there you go. I'm glad because now I can keep drinking the coffee that I love. Ludwig van Beethoven had a lot of hair, as we know. And apparently friends kept his locks for many decades. Nearly two centuries later, an international team of researchers say that they have a complete set of DNA found in every cell of Beethoven's hair. The researchers put a paper out today in the Journal of Current Biology, and they're studying his DNA in the hope that it might determine the cause of his progressive hearing loss, his chronic gastrointestinal complaints, and his severe liver disease, which culminated in his death in 1827 at just 56 years of age. How interesting is this, that they can take your hair and work out the DNA and therefore work out why you may have had a problem with liver or may have had a problem with hearing. How fabulous is that? That kind of research is fantastic. Not as good as the research over coffee, though, because as a coffee fanatic, I can't do without my coffee. Three times a day is just perfect. I'd have four, but then that would get me into the afternoon, and I love my sleep too much. I don't like missing out on sleep or disrupting sleep. I've run out of time. I tell you who won't be sending you to sleep is the one and only Damian Richardson, who follows me straight after the news. Do not go anywhere. Enjoy the rest of your day, night, or afternoon, and I'll be back to do this at the same time tomorrow. Thank you so much for your company. This is Chris Smith on TNT Radio.